Good morning, friends. I'm so happy to see you this morning. I'm also happy to tell you that the reason I am here is because our pastor, who we all love so much, took some time off and went to Men's Encounter this weekend and had a beautiful time. And so I know you will hear more about that, but I just want you to know how important it is to take time to take care of yourself and how it's so great for us to have leaders who can take over things when Pastor Blaine is gone. I think of Jacob, who takes over our discipleship, and he's a busy, busy man. But I'm sitting there and I'm like, I don't want to preach. I want to listen to Jacob talk. But yes, so this morning I am going to be talking to you. The word that the Lord's put on my heart is that we all have heart issues. We all have heart issues. There is no exception to that rule because we are all human. We all are dealing with life and things and the world around us, and that affects our heart and it affects who we are. The last few weeks I've been meditating on scripture, and Hebrews 3:7 and Psalms 95:8 say, if today you hear his voice, harden not your heart. If today you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Now for me, that was a song growing up that I used to sing in church. If today you hear his voice, harden not your heart. So I've committed it to memory over and over again, and I went back in the scriptures over the last few weeks, and the Lord just put on my heart that there are issues, there are things that even I'm dealing with that he wants to address. And if there's things that he's dealing with in me, then there's got to be things that he's dealing with in other people. You know, we have a pastor who loves Jesus and pursues him and says yes when the Lord tells him to go to an event that maybe he wasn't that excited to go to in the first place. But the Lord uses everything to teach us and to soften our hearts. The reason we say no to things most of the time is because we have harder hearts. The reason I say no to the Holy Spirit when he tells me to do something is because my heart is hard. And so this morning, we're going to talk about that, but we're also going to talk about love, because we have a love issue in this world because we have heart issues. It's very difficult to receive and give love when we have barriers built up against it. And we have to recognize that there is a scheme of the enemy. There is a spiritual battle that is being fought. And there is an agenda that the evil one has to get the world and get people to look through these filters of basically anything but love. Anything but love. And most of us are looking through the lens of an iPhone screen for all the things anyway, so that's not helpful. But we know the truth. We know we are set apart. We know we are a royal priesthood. We know we are holy and we are distinct because of who God has made us to be. But because we are exposed to the world, because we are exposed to other human beings, whether we'd like to believe it or not, we are affected by it. And it is our job to be as close to Jesus as possible. Mostly so that we can be close to him and know who he is and have a relationship with him, but also because we are made in the image of God, and every person has been made in the image of God. Over the last few weeks, the Holy Spirit has brought to my mind the theology of Imago Dei, of the image of God, of how we are all created in God's image. And if you look at your bulletin, what I've given you is information. I'm not preaching that bulletin. That's just an outline of what Imago Dei, what the image of God, what that theology is. I wanted you to have background. Also, there's a lot going on this weekend, so I really only have 15 minutes to preach. So there's some information for you. Let's jump on this bandwagon and ride. So Father God, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word, that it does not return void. We thank you that you have given us hearts and bodies and minds to serve you, Lord. Father, I pray what it says in James, Lord, that we would receive the word with meekness this morning, that we would have hearts that are good soil so that we can let you plant what you want to plant in our hearts, Lord, and that we'll be open to what Holy Spirit wants to teach us this morning. So this morning I am going to share with you a significant amount of scripture, because if I'm being honest, my opinion really doesn't matter. The Lord has reminded me over and over and over again that the truth is what sets you free, that the truth is the light of the world, that the Lord has created us all in his image, and in him there is no darkness. So if we submit to who he is, if we submit to his light and his word, then we will be love and be truth in the world for all the people. Genesis 1, 26 and 27 says this, God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So we either believe scripture or we don't. Did God create man in his image? Yes? No? Maybe so? Okay, good. Good, good, good. We're participating today. It's going to be fun, I promise. If not, you can fake it till you make it. You'll be good. God created us in his image. And I think sometimes we are so far from like the beginning of the world that we're like, yeah, God created Adam and Eve in his image, and that's how it all started, and then everything happened, and now we're here. That's not what the word said. God created mankind in his own image. So are we mankind? Yes, we are mankind. So did God create Amy in his image? Yes. Did God create Brenda in his image? Yes. Did God create Austin in his image? Yes. We are all created in his image. If that is true, if the scripture is true, then all human beings are to be honored and dignified because of who God is in them. The way you meet people matters. That's the Bible. Matthew 5, 44 through 45 says, but I tell you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who mistreat you and persecute you, that you may be children of your Father who is in heaven. We talk a lot about the words that we say and the things that we do and how we're supposed to be Jesus to other people. James 3, 7 through 9 says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's image. The reason that the way that we use our tongues matter is because we are speaking to image bearers of God, and because we are representations ourselves of who God is. I think sometimes we forget the why. We have the list of all the things we're supposed to do, all the do's and don'ts, but the why is because you are bearing the image of Christ. You may be the only Jesus that someone sees today or ever. It's really important as Christians that we remember that. There's a story in Isaiah where Isaiah is talking about this vision that he's seeing, right? And in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, it says, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord and exalted, seated on the throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And Isaiah sees this picture. He sees the angels, and he sees everybody worshiping the Lord. They're saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And this is his response. Verse 5 says, woe to me, I am ruined. Isaiah stands before the Lord, and he sees such a pure image and vision of God that he pronounces judgment on himself. And he doesn't say, Lord, forgive me, I'm a sinner. He doesn't say, oh, I'm a liar, or oh, I've done this, or oh, I yelled at my kids today, or whatever. He says, I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. You see, if today you hear his voice, harden not your heart, is literal. If you can hear the voice of the Lord, if you can hear it in the word, if you can hear it in the Holy Spirit, if you hear it in the worship, he calls us to not harden our hearts. How we respond to the Lord matters. And Isaiah sees that. And what he is he's convicted. And we get to have that same experience. We get to have that same consequence. When we come into the presence of the Lord, we should feel conviction. We should be sorry and sad that we've done things that have harmed his spirit and hurt him. But the other thing is the hope. Like, we took communion. We have a hope for a future. We have a hope because of Jesus. But we also are the image of Christ. We can have hope in that. And maybe that's not your issue. Maybe you don't have an issue with bad thoughts or saying bad words or doing bad things. Maybe you're perfect all the time. But watch this. If the Lord is our God and we're created in his image, are we looking for that image? Do we think, is this at the forefront of our mind? Like, as people who are proud of the fact that we know a significant amount of the word, do we keep it at the forefront of our brain that I'm looking at you and you are the image of Christ? Or am I looking at you and all the things that you did wrong yesterday? Fair? Flip it around. Are you looking at yourself as an image bearer of Christ? Or are you looking at yourself as all the things that you did wrong yesterday? Somebody needs to hear that today. The Lord looks at you as his image bearer. There are truths that you speak or should be speaking over yourself. And it doesn't matter what you did yesterday because you already took that to Jesus this morning. And you need to get on with yourself and you need to go do what Jesus told you to do. Because we are image bearers of Christ. The Lord brought to mind the story of the, It's in Luke 10, the Good Samaritan, the story of the Good Samaritan. I was on my way to the Y this last week, and I go pretty early. It's like 4:30, 5 in the morning, and I drove by Brahms, and there was someone either asleep or passed out or unalived or something in front of Brahms. And in that moment, I had a choice. I had a response. And my background, you know, we were in California. This isn't a thing I haven't seen before. And my husband was in the military. Like, we have a first responder background. So my first instinct is to call 911. Well, actually, this is terrible. My first instinct is to actually go and help, but my husband's voice was in the back of my head going, don't do that. That's not safe. So I listened to the Lord, and I called 911, and I shared the information with them, and I don't know how it turned out, but the Lord brought to mind the story of the Good Samaritan. This story is so applicable to our lives today. Like, how many injustices do we see? How many ugly things do we see? Teenagers saying mean things to each other, siblings saying mean things to each other, and we don't do anything about it. We have a choice, we have a responsibility, but why? Because we are image bearers of God, and not only that, the people that we are witnessing are also made in the image of God. If today you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Part of this is, you know, garbage in, garbage out. What are you listening to? What are you absorbing? What are you watching? Are you doom scrolling all night from 9 p.m. to midnight? I hope you're convicted right now because I did that last night. Fun fact, here's your fun fact for the day, your little tidbit of help. You can reset your algorithm. Inside your little phone, which we all have, I'm not going to pretend that, you know, maybe there's two people in this room that don't have a phone. But in that phone, there's lots of information. And no matter what you're looking at for information, whether it's Google or Facebook or Instagram or TikTok or whatever, that information is all taken into account and it gives you more of what you watch. It gives you more of what it thinks you're interested in. Also, on the flip side, you need to understand that these things are businesses. They're not there for your good. They're there to make money and to get your attention. And what gets your attention more than anything? Things that make you angry and upset. So they're going to show you things that make you angry or upset. And they're going to hope that you respond and do what? Share. Tell everyone about it. Sorry, that was a different sermon. I digress. You can go look at rainbows and butterflies, and you can go look at puppies sledding down hills in the snow, and you can go look at Bible verses, and you can go look at workout videos. You can go look at anything that is good or wholesome, or contributes to good things in your life, and guess what? That little algorithm is going to reprogram itself and show you good things. You're welcome. That's your helpful hint for the day. Now on to harsher things. 2 Timothy 3:1-5 says this. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times, for people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but will reject the power that could make them godly. Every single thing in this list is happening in our world today. Every single thing. There is no exemption. All of these things are happening and occurring at a rather regular occurrence. I think as we apply this to ourselves and apply this to the title of our message today, all of these things have to do with hard-heartedness. And the opposite of them will make your heart soft. 2 Timothy 1 through 2 says, you should know this, Timothy, that in the last days they will be difficult. Are they difficult? Does anybody else have an easy time about it? Because I want to come hang out with you. Does anybody every day is like easy peasy lemon squeezy? Oh, okay. I just want to make sure we're in the same boat. I need friends in my misery sometimes. It says people will love only themselves. Hello, I see that all over the place. I struggle with that half the time. Do you struggle with selfishness? Do you struggle with money? Do you struggle with being angry or vengeful? Do you struggle with forgiveness? We all struggle with these things, and it is more and more dominant as we progress in this world. The way that we can combat that, the way that we can come against hard hearts is to be grateful, is to pursue love. Gratefulness shows up as being humble. When you are grateful, you see things that you don't see before. Like we listened to the people talk about the missions trip. How much more grateful are you when you see people who don't have the things that you have? Like you should be. If that's not your response, let me tell you, you have a hard heart. If you see people who have less than you do and you look at them and you go, oh my gosh, that's totally their fault. They could be doing better. You have a hard heart. That is a fact. It is not an opinion. When you look at people who are image bearers of God and you wish harm on them for whatever reason, you have a hard heart. When you're speeding down the road and somebody cuts you off and they get pulled over and you don't and you go, good for them, you have a hard heart. Now, the flip side of that is, hopefully you're not speeding, but secondly, somebody gets pulled over, or better yet, you see an emergency vehicle go by and you pray for those people. You pray for those people. You come before the throne room and you say, Lord, wherever they're going, let them be safe. We can change our hearts, and we can allow the Holy Spirit to change our hearts, but we have to try ourselves first. Gratefulness inspires obedience. Gratefulness softens our hearts. Gratefulness says, I am so thankful for my life that I'm going to do something with it. Gratefulness says, I'm so thankful for my car, I'm going to give kids rides home from school. Gratefulness says, oh, I'm so thankful for those kids playing in the gym. I'm going to go play with them. Or better yet, I'm going to buy them cookies. They'll be really happy about that. Gratefulness inspires us to action, and it creates softer hearts. The other way to create a soft heart in you is to serve, to go on a missions trip, to love someone else, to clean up someone else's mess, to love someone else's kid. Like, the way that you become soft in your heart is to care. It's to care. Psalms 119:11 says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. How do you not harden your heart? You put the word in your heart. You speak the truth. You speak life. You speak joy. You become an image bearer of God with your words. And you speak the word to build others up, not to tear them down. And here's your prophecy from the word today. 1 John 3:11, this is the message you have heard from the beginning, love one another. 1 Corinthians 13:1, if you could speak with all the languages of earth and of angels but don't love each other, you will be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and I understand all of God's secret plans and possess all of the knowledge, and if I have such faith that I can move mountains, which I have, this is what I love about this scripture. I can guarantee that most of you in this room know that you possess all of these things. But if you possess all of these things and don't have love, the scripture tells us we have nothing. We have nothing. Goes on to say in verse 4, love is patient and kind. It is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. How do we have soft hearts? We do the opposite. We don't be jealous. We don't be boastful. We don't be proud. We don't be rude. we don't be irritable. We don't rejoice about injustices. Love does not rejoice about injustices, but rejoices whenever truth wins. And it's not your truth, it's not my truth, it's the Lord's truth. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. I don't think some of us believe that. I think some of us are so raised in the church, which is a beautiful thing, that sometimes we don't believe scriptures like this. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages. I love my spiritual language. I love that I can talk to the Lord at any time about anything, even when my brain's not working, and I can connect with the Holy Spirit. I love that. But this says that will become useless, but love will last forever. The word tells us to love your neighbor as yourself. Love says, Lord, use your word to show me what you want me to do. Not, Lord, help me do this. Lord, help me do this. Lord, help me make this off my list. Let me do this. Lord, help. Use your word to show me what you want me to do. John 15:13 says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And this is a hard scripture for me. I know a lot of people who have laid down their lives for people. I know a lot of members of the military who have went to war and who have died for our freedom. But if they didn't know Jesus and they didn't have love, what was it for? And that is why it is so important that we understand what the image of God is and how we hold it. Because your image of God in you is the Jesus that other people are going to see. And that is the truth. That is the only truth that the world needs to know, is who is Jesus? And is he true and alive in you? I hate living in this world some days. Like, I can't wait for Jesus to come home. I can't wait to go to heaven, but I know that I have work to do. And so that makes it okay. But we can't live in this world and not realize that we are affected by it. We're affected by all the things that we see, all the things that we hear, both positive and negatively. And I don't know about you, but I want to surround myself with other image bearers of Christ who want to affect my life positively. I am not strong enough to resist the negativity that sometimes comes at us incessantly. Over the last 5 weeks, like I've told you guys before, I hate watching the news. I don't like to watch the news. Over the last 5 weeks, I haven't had a choice because it's everywhere. And if I don't watch it, somebody tells me about it. So I don't have a choice. And so all I can do is remind myself of who I am in Christ and the Christ that I see in the person standing in front of me. Because that is the only hope for our future. The only hope for our future is that we have Christ in us and that we bring Christ to other people. Galatians 5:22-23 says the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit. The Holy Spirit, not Amy in my flesh, not Amy doing everything right, not Amy reading the word, but I allow the Holy Spirit to produce this kind of fruit in my life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. 1 Corinthians 13:13. Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. It's not going to get better. Spoiler alert. We're in a world that is not getting better. We are moving towards the coming back of Christ. And that could be 10 minutes, that could be 10 years, that could be 10,000 years. I don't know. I don't think the earth will last that long, but you know, could say it sooner rather than later. We are in the end times, and so we have to choose to speak the truth. That is why I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. That is why I can stand up here and say all these things, and I really don't care who's offended, because my job is to do what the Holy Spirit tells me to do when he tells me to do it. But because I see Jesus in every single person here, I know that you have a purpose and a position and a place to go so that you can show Jesus to other people. I'm going to close with a reading from the book of Hebrews today. And that I'm just, Hebrews 3 is no joke, people. It's no joke. You can go home and read it and read it and read it again. Hebrews 3 verse 1 says this: and so, dear brothers and sisters who belong to God and are partners with those called to heaven, think carefully about this Jesus, whom we declare to be God's messenger and high priest. for he was faithful to God who appointed him, just as Moses served faithfully when he was entrusted with God's entire house. But Jesus deserves far more glory than Moses, just as a person who builds a house deserves more praise than the house itself. For every house has a builder, but the one who built everything is God. Moses was certainly faithful in God's house as a servant. His work was an illustration of the truths that God would later reveal. But Christ, as the Son, is in charge of God's entire house, and we are God's house. If we keep our courage and remain confident in our hope in Christ, that is why the Holy Spirit says, today, when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as Israel did when they rebelled, when they tested me in the wilderness. Your ancestors tested and tried my patience, even though they saw my miracles for 40 years. I was so angry with them, and I said, their hearts always turn away from me. They refuse to do what I tell them. So in my anger, I took an oath. They will never enter my place of rest. Be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning you away from the living God. You must warn each other every day while it is still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. For if we are faithful to the end, trusting God just as firmly as when we first believed, we will share in all that belongs to Christ. Remember what it says, today, when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your holy scriptures. We thank you for your Holy Spirit in us. But Lord, most of all, we thank you that you are ours, that I am yours and you are mine, Lord. That you are all that matters. That you are everything at all times to all people, Lord Jesus. Help us to remember that we bear your image. That we are the only Jesus that people will see, Lord. And help us to recognize you in every single human that we come up to, Lord Jesus. In every single human that we see, Lord. I thank you that you came to earth for the individual. You didn't come for the Romans or the Pharisees or the Sadducees, Lord. You came for me. You came for the individual that we would know you, that we would know love, and that we would walk with you and be in relationship with you. Father God, bless us as we go. Help us to do your will with your word, and help us to be encouraged by it. In Jesus' name.